Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Celebrating 8 years is radio's small business superhero. He's a syndicated radio host, syndicated columnist, author of 2 books, and all-around nice guy.
The most fantastic crime fighter the world has ever known.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you have been listening already, we consider that a sign of high intelligence. Joel LaBava is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Joel is the president of Franchise Selection Specialists, Incorporated, out of the great city of Cleveland, Ohio. I was just in Cleveland last month. It's a great, great part of the world. And Joel's here to talk to us about franchising. As you heard, if you've heard me say before, folks, that I consider franchising to be an outstanding option for budding entrepreneurs because it helps you to be entrepreneurial, but with somebody else's idea. And so let's see what Joel has to say. Joel, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Jim.
It's good to have you back.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
You know, franchising, as I have said before, Joel, is what I call entrepreneurial coloring inside the lines. You get to have fun. You get to be entrepreneurial. You get to take risks. You get all the head rush of being an owner. But you don't have to think of everything. Somebody else has thought of most of it. And, in fact, you have to follow their rules and for the most part. But it gives you an opportunity to do something for your own account, but it's somebody else's idea, and they're franchising it to you, and it's in my opinion, it's one of the things that makes America great. What do you think?
I agree, absolutely. We work with a lot of folks that are downsized from corporate America, and they're used to working in a system, some type of structure. And franchising for some, not for everybody, but franchising for some could be a great thing. And you're right, Jim. Following the system is the key. You talk to people that have failed in franchising, they start getting a little too creative, started doing their own thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know that old saying, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Right.
And well, you're buying a system, and hopefully the franchisor, the franchise company, has already made the mistakes that you don't have to make.
Right. That's exactly right. And there's a reason that they have these things. They spend a lot of money on system development, but also on trial and error. They've spent a lot of money failing, haven't they, Joel?
Yes, they have. And it's even more money to be a franchisor now because of the technology involved.
Yeah, yeah.
And the software upgrades constantly.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, Joel, one of the things that that's typically part of becoming a small business owner for most people is they and I have said this many times before, and so have many of my Brain Trust members, you need to be passionate about what you do. I've said that if you don't love what you do, I'm not talking about being a franchisee now. I'm talking about just opening up your own shop, doing your own thing. If you don't love that very, very much, whenever the business lets you down, the operation of the business lets you down, and it will, if you don't love what you do, you won't come back the next day. Now, my question to you, Joel, is that attitude, and I believe that's true. I'm not asking you if that's true. I know that's true. But in terms of franchising, is passion as important as it is when you start from whole cloth?
I think passion is important. What I'd like to share with you is give you an interesting example about passion. A lot of folks, you know, there's more pets in America than there ever were.
There are more pets than people, aren't there?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. And I get phone calls sometimes from people that say, look, I love dogs, I love animals. Isn't there a franchise out there where I can be in the pet industry? And I say to that person, there could be, but what if the hours, the 70 or 80 hours that it takes sometimes to get into business, what if that passion disappears a little bit and you don't enjoy what you thought you would enjoy about the business?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a mistake that a lot of people make. What we tell people is, you know, why not find a business that maybe you didn't wake up in the morning thinking that you'd own, but the passion develops as you learn more about
mm-hmm.
it? and you're able to back away eventually so you can enjoy the things that are that you're passionate about. And it's kind of a different way of looking at things, Jim. But sometimes the passion develops as you're in the business for a couple of years. And even though it's something you never dreamed you'd be in, it enables you to enjoy the things that you like to do. So we'd like to tell people, you know, how important is it what the business is as long as it can get you where you want to go? Mm-hmm. So we put people through the ringer. We make them think about 2-3 years from now what their life's going to look like and feel like.
Mm-hmm.
Important.
One of the things I'm going to ask Joel when we come back from the next break, from this break, is if he recommends before you go into an industry as a franchisee, before you make that financial commitment and commitment of a lot of other things, should you go get some experience in that industry? I'm going to ask and develop some passion maybe through as an employee. I'm going to ask Joel that when we come back. It's 20 till. Joel Abava is our guest. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Joel Abava is our guest. He's the president of Franchise Solutions Specialists Incorporated out of Cleveland, Ohio. And Joel, we're talking about passion. And I want to get to my question in a minute about how we get into a franchise. But one of the things I know you wanted to do was to make sure that we don't get so wrapped up in the passion for our business that we miss the passion, that we miss the opportunity to be passionate about other things, maybe things that matter more. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, absolutely. Our kids, our grandkids.
Yeah.
You know, be able to spend some quality time, be able to get that business up and running so you're at the point where maybe you have a manager or two in place so you can back off and enjoy the stuff that you wanted to do at the beginning.
That's what I think franchise, that's an opportunity I think franchises offer that starting from whole cloth probably doesn't. Because when you, and I'm speaking from experience here, Joe, when you build something from zero, from whole cloth, from a blank sheet, you have to make all the mistakes. You have to pay for all the mistakes.
Yes.
You have to worry about all the mistakes you've made and the ones you think you're going to make. And you have to find out what works, too, because just because you make a mistake, that shows you what doesn't work, but it might not show you what does work. And that takes time, that takes resources, and it's okay to be passionate about that, but as you say, you might miss other opportunities to spend time on things that you really like your children, as you say, and your family. Those are important, and a franchise might alleviate some of that. What do you think?
Oh, I agree, especially because you can ramp up, in most cases, quicker than if it was your own idea. And I think that's really key. You can get in business fairly quick. You know, a franchisor brings you a marketing plan, brings you an operations manual that might be 300 pages long. There are steps to follow. There are steps to follow, and it saves you time.
Well, there's no question about it. And many of us, if you look around, you've seen this happen before. You've seen somebody open up a franchise, and within 2 years or so, they've got one more. Then they've got another one. And before long, they got 15 of these puppies. And as you say, then they start building a management organization.
Right.
Layers of management. What do you think about my question, Joel? I mentioned a minute ago about when somebody thinks that they want to go into, as you said, the pet sitting business or whatever it might be. What do you think about saying to them, have you ever done that before? I know you love pets, but have you ever thought about it as a profession? Do you ever recommend that people go and get some experience?
Once in a while, you know, out of all the people I've helped get into business, maybe two or three of them have worked in the business for, you know, a few days or a week. And I recommend it if it's a business that they are totally, totally unfamiliar with. But most of the time, folks that I work with bring some general business knowledge to the table, and it's just a matter of adapting that to whatever the product or service is.
But see, this is the classic story. I really like to cook for people.
Okay.
I really like to cook, so therefore, that must mean I was meant to be a restaurateur. Well, that's like, that's the we put that on the business's tombstone. You know,
yes.
I was really meant to be a restaurant. He was really meant to be a restaurateur. Cooking. I mean, I like to cook, and I like to feed people when I cook. But I already know that I wouldn't make a good restaurateur. So, I just wonder if, when you run into a situation like that, I really love pets, so therefore I must want to be in the pet business. What do you tell them?
I tell them to start stopping in some pet shops and some boarding facilities and ask them, do you mind if I stop in for a little while? Do you mind if I work on my time for a half a day, a couple days a week here? I just want to get a feel of it. Why not? I mean, I think that's a great idea. You know, when it comes to the restaurant business, though, if you've never been in the restaurant business, I guarantee that you are not prepared for 80-hour weeks, 7 days a week.
Yeah.
That's a big difference. And I like to cook, too, but I wouldn't own a restaurant.
It's people who are successful in the restaurant business, I take my hat off to them.
Yes, toughest business in the world.
It's got to be the toughest business in the world. No question about it. What about going to, obviously if you live in a town, you go see one of your future competitors, they're not going to be too happy about that. But, what I have done in the past is I've gone to other cities.
Good idea.
What do you think?
Good idea. Go 30 miles away, 25, 30 miles away, and, get a hotel room and spend a couple nights and sniff around a little bit. And I bet you could spend a few hours here and there at some stores that maybe you're interested in going in.
Well, and, find somebody who will speak to you. Don't just go shopping in a store.
Absolutely.
See if you can identify. You might have to go 100 miles. You might have to go 200 miles.
Yeah.
But find somebody that's – and I'll tell you who – either a future franchisor prospect, or somebody in the trade group, in the industry's trade group, get them to, there's somebody out there, and they know who they are, who likes to help people get into the business, aren't there?
There's always somebody all over the place like that.
But so you don't need to just wander in and say, will you spend 2 hours with me telling me about
the
business?
Right.
That won't work. You need
use
to have
a connection of yours.
That you got to be able to do that. Hey, Joel, hold on to that thought. We're going to take a quick break, folks. We'll be right back with Joel LaBava. He's the president of Franchise Selection Specialists Incorporated out of Cleveland, Ohio. Joel, give us your website, please.
www.theohiofranchisecenter.com.
Stand by. Quick break. 10 till. Welcome back. It's 7 Till. I'm Jim Lessingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're rocking and rolling with our good friend Joel LaBava, the president of Franchise Selection Specialists Incorporated out of the great city of Cleveland in the great state of Ohio. Give us that website again, Joel.
www.theohiofranchisecenter.com.
Tell us what you guys do.
We work with those who are interested in franchise ownership, and based on personality, profile, investment amount, what they want their day in the life of to be, we match them to appropriate opportunities in the world of franchising.
Is there a website that you recommend for people to go and see all the different things that are available for franchising?
Sure. I would go to the Franchise Association website.
Can they find that link on your website?
Yes, they sure can.
So if they go, give it to us again.
Yeah,
yours.
TheOhioFranchiseCenter.com.
Go there, folks, and check that out to see what Joel does, but also he's going to lead you to the rest of the industry.
Yes,
right
I sure
there.
Will.
So check that out. And how many franchise opportunities are there in America today?
Almost 4,000.
4,000.
Yeah,
and how many are, and of course, other parts of the world. We got people listening on the internet all around the world. Are there similar opportunities in other countries?
Yes, franchising is expanding globally as we speak. A lot of countries are getting into it. And a lot of people are coming to the States visiting to learn about franchising so they can take it to their countries.
Mm-hmm. Joe, what else would you like to tell us about passion in franchising?
I think that what I talked about before, that one becomes passionate once they find out about an industry that they never thought of. The passion starts building because they start talking to other franchisees, folks before them that have already written the check and have gone to a bank and have run it through with their spouse and have done the research and were just as nervous as they are, but they took the leap of faith and they're in business. Once they start talking to people like them, the passion really, really starts to go on overdrive. The excitement starts building. And people say to themselves, you know what? I think I could do this.
Well, you know, I have met people who are passionate about being working for themselves, but weren't all that. They loved what they did. They liked what they did. But the business was a means to an end. The business that they were in was what gave them an opportunity to be passionate about working for themselves.
Exactly.
And I
exactly.
see that. And I've known people like that. And then I've also known people who weren't exactly thrilled about being a business owner because the operation of the business was tedious to them, but they just loved making shoestrings or battleships. I mean, that's if somebody else would run the business and that all they had to do was just make shoestrings or battleships, that would be a dream come true for them.
Yes, sometimes, and that's interesting you bring that up, sometimes the simpler the business, the less you have to train people, the easier it is for the business to run because you are not the business.
But the bottom line, and I think this is a point you made earlier that I like, Joel, the bottom line of all this is find a way as early as you can to bring other people in, to not be a 100% extension of yourself, to bring somebody in, to clone somebody to help you do the business so that if you find other things if there are other things in your life that you would like to be able to spend time with, children, your faith life, your volunteering, golf, God forbid, that you might want to play golf once in a while or go fishing or something like that, so that you have that opportunity, because otherwise Johnny becomes a dull boy, doesn't he?
Yes, yes. It gets very tedious very fast.
Yeah. And that's what you don't want to do. The saddest thing I've ever seen in the marketplace, Joel, is a small business owner who's burned out.
Yeah, and you can see it on their face when you walk in their operation.
Absolutely. And the burnout could be for a lot of different reasons.
Yeah, it's just not the 70-hour weeks. It could be a lot of different reasons. That's right.
It could be just not happy with what they've done. That's the reason why I know that, and that's one of the reasons, that's how you make a living, is trying to make sure when people go into business, that they've gone into it with a lot of forethought, as much as possible, and they've gone into it with a plan, not just with an idea.
You're right. You're right.
Yeah. Give us that website again, Joe.
www.theohiofranchisecenter.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I encourage you to check if you're interested in franchising or if you think you might be. I encourage you to go to Joel's website. He'll lead you to the rest of the world of franchising. Hey, Joel, thank you for being here. Good job today.
Thank you.
We'll see you next time.
We will.
Joel LaBava, ladies and gentlemen. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And as you know, this program is for you. And I'll be back on the other side of the news. Don't go away.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.